I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories.
Hi, my name is Anna, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a former midwife who left the system, and I'm now the proud founder of Sacred Birth International, a woman-owned company with a mission to revolutionize the birth world and bring focus to the sacred and the natural intelligence of the birth process. We do this by providing world-class education, courses, programs, and coaching to equip women with the knowledge and the tools to have conscious pregnancies, empowering and positive birth experiences, and the most nourishing start possible for themselves and their babies postpartum. We also educate and mentor aspiring birth workers into sacred space holders and physiological birth advocates in the Sacred Birth Worker Mentorship, the Beyond a Doula training. If you'd like to work with me or take any of our courses, programs, or the mentorship, then head on over to sacredbirthinternational.com to find out more. Today on the Natural Birth Podcast, we have Lauren. Lauren is a mama of one, originally from England, now living in New Zealand since 7 years back. She's a pastry chef and qualified personal trainer, now focusing on raising her baby girl. She's been vegan for 10 years and is trying to live a low-tox, holistic kind of life. During her whole pregnancy, she felt very skeptical about inviting her midwife to her birth, as she was aware of how a medical midwife can unfortunately get in the way of a physiological birth. And I mean, that's true to anybody being in a birth space. That is why it's so important that you truly resonate with who you invite into your birth space, that you feel safe with that person, that you align with that person, whether it's a midwife or not. She ended up laboring with her partner and dog for 18 and a half hours until her body started pushing and she decided to call her midwife. Her baby ended up coming 1.5 hours later, shortly after the midwife arrived, and her midwife stayed hands off. No one else touched her baby besides her and her partner for a few hours until she wanted her to. She also had a second degree tear and decided against advice to not get any stitches and really believe she healed better because of it. Lauren feels very empowered and proud to have had her first birth at home. Curious about Lauren? Find her on Instagram as Lauren Hadfield Pilcher. Now, if you didn't know already, I have 3 really epic free resources that you can access and download at sacredbirthinternational.com. There's 2 ebooks. One is called 6 Steps to Having a Natural Empowering Birth Experience. And one is called Routine Hospital Birth Procedures: Inform Yourself and Make an Educated Decision. This is a comprehensive ebook full of information and assistance in creating an informed birth plan. Whether you're having a hospital, birth center, or home birth, as you never know where your birth journey is going to take you. And knowledge is power. Finally, if you're planning a home birth like Lauren, then download my free home birth checklist. There will definitely be things in there that you might not have thought of. Find them all via the link in the show notes or at sacredbirthinternational.com. Now let's dive on into today's episode. Hi, Lauren, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you?
Hi, Anna. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really good. Thank you.
Beautiful. Everyone listening will think you're from the UK, which you are, but you're actually living in New Zealand, and that's where you birthed your baby. So to becoming pregnant and deciding to have a home birth, was that always obvious for you?
I think it had crossed my mind, kind of. I hadn't thought about being pregnant, like in the sense of planning it, but, you know, when you kind of just have things coming in and out of your mind. A few years ago, I was like, I don't know what I would do. I didn't know about home birth. And I was like, but it doesn't feel right to go to the hospital. And it was during the whole COVID time. And I kind of thought about it, and then it kind of just left my mind. And then I, of course, got pregnant, and I was like, it doesn't align with me to go to the hospital. So I kind of was like, what am I going to do? And your podcast was like one of the first times that I knew home birth was a thing. So I was at the gym, and I was still in shock that I was pregnant because it wasn't planned. And I even remember the machine I was on, because it was obviously such like a pivotal moment. And I just typed in to the podcasts, because I'd always listened to a podcast at the gym, and I typed in natural birth, and your podcast was the first one that came up. And then the rest was history for me, really. Like, I just started listening to them that day, and I was like, home birth is the only option.
Wow, I love that. I love that my podcast was the first one you listened to. I love that so much.
Yeah.
So you were like literally a few weeks pregnant.
Yeah, probably was. I know it sounds crazy, but I knew I was pregnant even though I hadn't taken a test. Like, I could just feel it in my body.
Yeah,
I kind of just, and I'd always gone down like a more holistic kind of route. And to be honest, like going to the hospital is like a last resort for me. So I guess the word natural and birth just came into my head, and like, it's with everything in my life, I kind of want to do it the more natural route. And so I was just like, that's what I'll type in. And then I was drawn to the podcast.
Love it. So you decided to have a home birth. Did you go with the publicly funded home birth system in New Zealand?
Yeah. So from what I know, like the midwifery system in New Zealand is a bit funny. Like, I might be wrong, but I couldn't find a private midwife online. I found an independent midwife, like, not as in she didn't work in the hospital, like, well, based out of the hospital. It was kind of like a separate office. So I wasn't sure how, to be honest, I'm not really 100% sure how that works. But from what I know, the government funds all midwifery here. I'm not sure if you know.
Yeah, it's amazing that that's the case. And so that's very unique for New Zealand, which is amazing for the midwives who want to work independently. And then they bill the government instead of the woman, which is amazing. And then, of course, there's midwives that work maybe, you know, connected to a hospital, and they have a home birth service or a birth center birth service. I think that's the kind of difference. But at the same time, it's amazing how that is provided for women in New Zealand.
It was totally amazing, because I wasn't really sure when I went to the first appointment. Like, I was kind of like, am I going to get a massive bill? But I was obviously prepared. Like, I was like, I'll just make it happen if I need to. And then she was like, no, it's funded. And so it is amazing in that sense. But at the time, it kind of scared me a little bit, because I felt kind of, you know, when you hand someone your money for a service, you feel more in control. Whereas I felt like, because it was funded by the government, I was a bit fearful of kind of like the overreach of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that's where you need to like interview your midwife and bring all the hard questions and talk about all the things to know that you're aligning with the same philosophy, and that also to kind of get a sense of how potentially how controlled is she in her practice. And I'm not sure to the depth of that in New Zealand. I do think that midwives are quite autonomous, but I think also there's some things that maybe you can't
I don't know if you can go over 42 weeks or I think you can, I'm not sure, but it's good to have a chat with whichever country you're in, whoever you're speaking to, if it's a publicly funded or a private midwife, how that works. But I understand, because in the UK, you have the same system, don't you, with the NHS, home births are funded by the government, but you also can find privately practicing independent midwives that you do pay.
Yeah.
So I don't know about New Zealand, if you do have that. If there are midwives that you can pay privately, maybe there is.
I do you know what? I should have researched it better, but at the time, like before coming on this podcast, but at the time, I'm pretty sure there isn't, which I did think was really weird, but I'll have to look into it some more. But I think that was definitely a whole journey, because kind of like the whole time I felt like the fear that I had wasn't surrounding birth. It was surrounding like the kind of midwife having to tick the boxes.
Totally understand that.
Yeah, but it all worked out well in the end.
Beautiful. Yeah, it sounds like she was very hands-off and very respectful of you. So how was your pregnancy? Do you want to share a bit about your pregnancy?
Yeah, so I went in it from the very beginning, like I really wanted to trust pregnancy, and I kind of went with the approach that everything was fine and it was all going to work out beautifully. And I didn't approach it with any kind of worry. So I'd requested the midwife not use a Doppler, and we used like an old Pinard to listen to the baby's heartbeat. I did actually have one scan during the pregnancy, but it's kind of one of those hindsight things now. Like at the time, my gut feeling was telling me that it didn't feel natural to have a scan. So I kind of just had one. And then after that, I was like, that's it, I'm done. Like, I feel like in order for me personally to have full trust in my body, that kind of seemed like an intervention a little bit to me during the pregnancy.
Yeah. What ultrasound did you have?
I had the 20-week one.
Mm.
But I kind of like, I know how inaccurate they are. So I didn't want to, it was almost like getting another scan was going to bring more fear to me, like the fear of them inaccurately telling me that I had a big baby or a small baby. I kind of really just wanted to let the body do its thing. And I knew like if there ever was a problem, my body would tell me there was a problem. I didn't need someone else to tell me.
Mm. Beautiful. Do you have a really strong connection to your intuition and your body wisdom?
I really feel like I do. And it kind of goes back to me knowing that I was pregnant before even taking a test. And kind of everyone around me was like, oh no, don't be silly. And I was like, no, trust me, I know. I don't need the test to tell me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. That's something that's so important to cultivate, I think. And what happens actually when you do get pregnant is that your intuition gets stronger.
Yeah.
You know, you become so much more open and you just have a stronger knowing, but you're also much more impressionable because you're also much more sensitive. So it goes both ways. Like your intuition gets stronger, but you also are very much affected by other people's opinions that are around you. So I understand the feeling of like wanting to safeguard yourself and going like, I want to hear my voice strongest. And I don't want to outsource to the experts to tell me. I want to trust in my inner knowing. And I do believe that, you know, if you are a woman and you know that your intuition is strong and you have a strong kind of, you know, relationship with your body and your body wisdom, then you can trust that.
Yeah,
it's women it's women who are very much disconnected to their intuition, disconnected to following their rhythms, disconnected to their body, disconnected to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then you need to cultivate that relationship in pregnancy or pre-pregnancy to really access that. Not everyone has it. That's why I also asked you, you know, how strong it is. And it sounds like you had a strong inner knowing. Yeah.
I think like, I really do believe that everything happens at like the right point for you. And I kind of feel like maybe if I had had a baby years ago, it would have been completely different. But I just feel like the timing was so, like I was at a place where I truly trusted myself. So I could trust the pregnancy and my baby as well.
I love that. I love that so much. Beautiful. Is there anything else you want to share before we dive on into the birth story?
No, that's beautiful.
Yeah, great. Yeah. So take us to, you know, early signs of labor approaching or how labor started for you and when.
So I the weeks approaching kind of like 38 weeks, I was kind of like, as you do, you know that your body's going to kind of birth the baby when the time is right, but you're getting a little bit antsy. And I was like looking for signs, but there was no signs whatsoever. And then I got to my 40 week midwife appointment. She had mentioned, because there'd been no signs or anything, she did bring up the induction word.
And at 40 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's on the list to do. It's on the list to tick, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, this was the whole problem. But I feel like that was a huge trigger for me to stop being so much of a people pleaser. And I had, like, I think it was a chat with her. Well, it was over email, but it was an in-depth email, kind of like a talk that I'd probably needed to have with her for a long time about how it kind of shocked me that she would even talk about that after spending so many weeks with me. But of course, on the other hand, I knew, like, it's a government-funded midwife. I kind of knew that they do have to tick the box.
Yeah, that's how it is, unfortunately. And this is something that really rubs me up the wrong way, that it's brought to women's attention at 40 weeks, sometimes even at 37, 38, 39 weeks, when we're not there. And you know, don't get me started on like the induction train, like how unnecessary that is for 99% of women. But it shouldn't even be mentioned, according to me, until you're at 42 weeks. And even then, I mean, I'm so pro to going past that as well. But like, you know what I mean? You have a term month. Like most women will birth from 37 weeks to 42 weeks. Actually, a lot of women, especially first-time moms, will birth somewhere between 40 and 42 weeks. And it's very common and normal and natural to birth between 41 and 42 weeks. And for some, a very few percentage, they're normal. Their baby's normal. I want everyone to hear me. Normal, a few percentage, is 43 weeks.
Yeah. I think like I was so thankful that I'd done loads of research. Like I'd obviously delved into your podcast. I'd got on, I used Rachel Reed's midwifery blog for loads. So every time my midwife would say anything, I went on her blog and like was like induction. And then I like read all about it. So I felt like I was so grateful that I was fully prepared to kind of like advocate for myself. But it still makes me really angry and upset that kind of like if you hadn't done that research yourself, I would have booked in for an induction, even though I'd gone to a kind of like a home birth physiological focused midwife. They still wanted to kind of like suggest that. So yeah, it's a crazy system if you haven't kind of done the research for yourself.
Definitely. You know, there's just this fear mongering, especially, you know, going past 41 weeks, which is, if you actually look at the statistics, if you actually look at the research, you would not be afraid of the dead baby after 41 weeks. Well, that is bombarded to women. Like literally it goes from like 0.3 to 0.6% or something.
Yeah.
And they say it doubles. It's not even at a freaking percentage. Like, seriously, you know, but the induction and what that does to women and the trauma to babies and mothers, that is not talked about.
Yeah.
It's just seen as induction is the best option to prevent a dead baby, which is not true. Not true.
Yeah. I think like they don't, when it's there isn't any such thing I know it's kind of controversial, but my opinion is there's no such thing as informed consent in kind of like the official medical birth system, because they don't tell you, they give you all the benefits of an induction, but they don't tell you the whole negative side effects of it and what the cascade of interventions is going to cause. Well, most of the time.
Absolutely. And the thing is, It's because there's not enough research. Not enough research has been done on the short-term and long-term consequences. So the only thing that you're looking at, the only thing is like the hours after birth, like it's the immediate postpartum. But the ramifications of that, like the women feeling, oh God, just, and the baby, and oof. Yeah. I mean, we're not going to go on this tangent because we're going to talk about your beautiful birth. But this does trigger us, doesn't it? Because it's this just the mass disinformation campaign that is going on, and it's getting worse. It's going down, not even at 41 weeks now, but like women are being induced at 40 weeks, 39 weeks with the same reasoning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's why kind of like your podcast and all the other kind of podcasts and Instagrams and stuff out there is fighting back against it though, which is amazing. And that's why I think it's so important for women to keep sharing their stories.
Yeah.
And that's obviously why I wanted to share my story as well.
So great. Well, I'm really happy you are. So let's dive on into it.
It's kind of not gross because it's natural, but the beginning of my labor started on the toilet. I kind of knew I went for a poo about kind of 8 times in an hour.
Yeah.
And I was like, sure. I was like, this has to be it.
That's a sign. That's an early sign for sure.
Yeah. I thought like my body was kind of flushing everything out, getting ready. But of course I didn't know how far away the birth would be. But it was happened on the Wednesday, the 15th at 10 p.m. I kind of went to the toilet. I couldn't stay off the toilet for a whole hour. And then maybe about an hour later, 11 o'clock, that's when the contractions started. I'd say it got intense very fast for me. So I kind of had this whole image in my head that I'd like bake a cake during early labor. Like I'd actually bought carrot cake ingredients because I was like, I really want to eat a carrot cake after the baby's born. So I'd kind of envisaged this like really kind of slow labor where I'd ease into it. But obviously that wasn't right for the baby. So she decided, and my body decided, it was going to be incredibly intense straight away. So it got to about maybe half an hour of contractions that were kind of like probably like strong period pains. But I don't even like using the word pain, but I feel like it kind of slips out because we've been programmed to use that word. But it more like, I guess, the feeling of a period. And then by 12 at night, it was like the contractions were kind of like full on every like 1 to 3 minutes. I just came into the living room and I could only sit on the floor because my body was just like, you just have to sit on the floor. I tried like sitting on the sofa. And I had in my head that everyone says just go to sleep at the beginning of labor. But for me, that was just not, there was just zero chance that I was going to go to sleep. And I kind of was like, oh, why is this happening at this time of night and not in the morning? But at the same time, I was also like, this, my body knows, of course, what it's doing. This is the time that it has to be.
Yeah, and that's it's usually like natural physiological birth usually kicks off at night. It's very common.
Yeah. So it was funny because I'd actually said to myself that I'm not going to time any of the contractions because I just thought that the research that I'd done showed me that it was pointless. I'd read that you kind of could have contractions really long and often and you might not birth your baby for 48 hours, so I didn't kind of want to go into it's the same thing kind of making every woman's birth the same. You time your contractions and oh, you're going to have your baby soon and then you don't have your baby for another 24 hours. I kind of didn't want to put the pressure on myself. But for some unbeknown reason, knowing this, I downloaded an app after I started going into labor, and I timed the contractions for about 8 hours. And it obviously told me numerous times, now's time to go to the hospital. but I wasn't going anywhere, of course. But I was like, that's so funny that it's telling me to go to the hospital when the labor actually ended up being so far away in the end.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, it's not just the contractions, right?
Yeah.
And this is why so many, especially first-time moms, going to the hospital several times during their opening phase, right? During that early labor and being, you know, they're sent home. And then that's so discouraging, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of exciting. Like, I just had no idea when the baby was going to come. Like, I'd read all sorts of birth stories. Like, I'd obviously immersed myself into it. And you hear of women having really fast births that are a couple of hours and then days long. And the whole time when I was in labor, I was just wondering, I was like, is it going to be like 5 more hours or is it going to be 3 days?
The enrollment for the Sacred Birthworker Mentorship starting in August 2024 has begun. This mentorship is for you who want to walk alongside women through her rite of passage from maiden to mother and provide a safe, sacred, and physiological birth space in any birth setting, home, birth center, or in a hospital. You who recognizes birth as a sacred portal and a life-altering event worthy of honoring, safeguarding, and celebrating. I'm calling in you who have a longing to work with women throughout pregnancy, birth, and the postpartum, and who want a deep, rich, holistic, and comprehensive training way beyond a doula training. This mentorship weaves ancient and modern knowledge of her story, women's wisdom, physiological birth knowledge and skills, as well as knowledge about medicalized birth, human rights, and sacred birth advocacy, as well as the art of sacred space holding, and tapping into feminine embodiment and spiritual practices to help you become the clearest channel and space holder for women and their families. You will be so held and nurtured and supported for a whole year inside our worldwide community as you learn and embody the teachings and skills and start sharing your gifts with the world. Through monthly live masterclasses, Q&As, birth debriefing and sharing in support circles, peer-to-peer meetings, access to our vast, rich, and comprehensive online learning portal, as well as one-on-one mentoring with me. This program is like no other in its depth of value and the amount of support that you'll receive. If you feel a deep calling to serve as the custodian of the sacred at the birth altar, and your intuition is ringing clear as you hear this, then head on over to sacredbirthinternational.com to learn more about this mentorship program and apply. Or click on the link in the show notes.
The contractions were kind of quite intense for the whole labor. There was no kind of, until I got into the pool hours later, there was no kind of like on or off. It was more like they were just intense and it carried on for 20 hours kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which was not like what I was expecting.
Yeah. You didn't feel a change. It was kind of the same strength and length for all that time.
Yeah, like obviously it was going on and off, kind of like 1 minute on, 1 minute off. But I kind of expected to ease into it, whereas it was just like from 12 midnight till I gave birth 20 hours later, it was the same intensity of contraction.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens to some women. That's normal for them.
Yeah. Like, I think it's so interesting how everyone is just so different and you really, you do have no idea what's going to happen, but you know, no matter how you get there, it's your body doing what's right to birth the baby.
And I think it's also really important to, like, there's no judgment or no, like, better birth, you know. It's not better because it goes faster. It's not worse because it's longer or over days, you know. To, if you can, like, to really, like, it sounds like you did, like, not have an idea about what your birth is going to be like lengthwise, but, like, even almost, like, prepare for a really long one and just be in the timelessness of birth.
Yeah, like, I tried to be really open-minded that it could be anything. And I think that's why I stopped timing the contractions as well, because I was just like, this, why am I even doing this? Like, it's not, it doesn't make a difference. I think maybe at the time it took my mind off it a little bit, even though that doesn't really make any sense. It was kind of something to do when I felt like I couldn't do anything, like I could tap a button. But it was funny because I looked at the clock and it had already been 8 hours, and it was the fastest 8 hours of my life. It was, And then my partner, like, I'd sent my partner back to bed the previous night because I was like, someone needs to sleep. Like, it, we, there's no point in both of us kind of being awake the whole night. So he'd got up in the morning and I was still in the same spot on the floor with my dog for company. He was like, should we set up the birth? And I was like, yeah, because I, the baby could come any minute, but also they might not come any minute. But I was like, just blow up the birth pool just in case. So he had kind of like started to get the birth pool ready and put some water in it, because at that point I felt like I needed to do something, as I'd just been sat in the same spot for so many hours. So I think at like 12 midday, I got into the birth pool. Actually, that's, I did notice when I got into the pool, it actually slowed down my contractions for the first time, which I wasn't sure if that was quite common or not.
Yeah. Especially if it's in, you're still in, you know, quotation mark, in early labor, right?
Yeah.
So when, usually when you're in really active stage, when you're in, you know, closer towards the birth than not, then usually doesn't really slow them down.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's definitely one thing with the, because, you know, you take away gravity, and gravity does intensify things.
So I ended up, I got out of the birth pool because I was like, I really don't want to slow this down. I kind of just let the contractions carry on. Hours passed again, and then it got to about kind of like 5 p.m. the next day. Things started kind of ramping up, like I was kind of like, the contractions, I don't know if they changed, but I, it was almost like the feeling, like I could feel the baby was kind of like moving. It's hard to describe because I guess everyone feels it so differently, but my, I just knew something was happening. And my partner was like, should we call the midwife? Because one of the things that I wanted was to labor for as long as possible. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I wasn't 100% sure I was even going to call the midwife at this point. Like, I kind of wanted to just go with the flow and see how I felt in the moment.
Yeah.
But it had been so long. Well, for me, it felt like it had been so long because I'd not been to sleep. And I was kind of just like, call the midwife, something's happening. And I kind of, I was quite exhausted at this point, but I knew kind of like when the baby came out, I was going to get adrenaline and everything was going to be fine. But by the midwife got there about an hour before she emerged, which was perfect because I felt like if she came any sooner, it would have interrupted things. So then I knew, this is quite funny, I knew that I was pushing, well, my body was pushing, but I didn't want to tell anyone because I didn't want any kind of like outside pressure. I just wanted to let my body do its thing. Like, I didn't even want to tell my partner because, yeah, I just didn't want any of the stress, like, to kind of, or anyone to stress and for me to kind of take on that energy. Yeah. So I was just sat in the pool I knew that I was pushing, but I was just like not telling anyone about it. And it was, yeah, it was really nice. Like, it was funny because I felt like the midwife and my partner didn't think that I was aware of what was going on in the room, but I felt like very aware of everything that was happening. But I wasn't, you hear about like the transition phase and you kind of taken to another planet. But it, for me, it was quite different. Like, I was very like hyper aware, which wasn't something that I expected.
Yeah.
But it's almost like I could hear every little thing that was going on. And I was so grateful to be in my own living room because I was just thinking, well, not at the time, but I think now, like, it would have been so distracting if I was in a hospital.
Yeah. No, that's very common, like that experience, because you are so open. As I said, like in pregnancy, your intuition increases, your openness, your sensitivity, but that's just amplified in birth. Like, it's, you're hyper aware. This is something I teach. You know, the women that I teach to become sacred birth workers, like, about even your presence, like as a midwife, as a birth worker, it's so important that you, when you're coming into a space, a birth space with a woman, you're so aware of what you bring, because she'll feel you. She will feel if you're coming with anxious energy, stressful energy, fearful energy, or calm energy, loving energy, and nervous system that's calm. She'll pick that up, and you would feel that. You'd feel what's going on in the room so strongly. Yeah. That's a part of the superpower of a birthing woman.
Yeah, definitely. I'd also, the midwife had offered to do some vaginal exam, but I knew that I didn't want anything like that. So I declined, but I felt compelled to just have a feel for myself. Like, I wasn't sure if I would or not. But I kind of was like, oh, actually, I'll just have it. Like, it was kind of not a secret, but like, I didn't say I was doing it. Like, I just did it because obviously it's my birth and I can do what I want.
Of course, you don't have to tell anyone. And I love that. You know, I really encourage women to explore their cervix in pregnancy. Yeah. And then, like, if they want, if they feel, like you said, like compelled to feel themselves, they can do that because they know what a closed cervix feels like. So they can also feel what it feels like as you're opening and finally when the head's coming.
Yeah, it was funny at the time when I did feel, I could feel the head, but at the time I didn't realize it was the head until afterwards. And I'd kind of like told the midwife I felt this squishy object, which it makes sense that it was, but I guess like in the moment, you don't really realize. I guess I didn't realize that the head would be squishy.
Had your waters broken before this?
Oh, yeah, I forgot to say about that, actually. My waters broke at about midday. Okay. And I ended up giving birth at 6 p.m. Well, 6:09. But I had my waters broken. I had a little bit of bloody show at 12 p.m. And then, yeah, I just carried on.
Yeah.
And, like, they kind of just broke. And then I just carried on. Like, I knew. Yeah. It was all just a part of it.
Part of it, yeah. So you're in the birth pool, you're pushing, you're feeling for the head. It feels a bit squishy. And then what?
Yeah. Then I was determined to just go with the flow and let my body do all the pushing. And then it got, I think it was about an hour of pushing, and the head was kind of moving in and out of my perineum. Like, she kept kind of like bopping in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And I never wanted to take any direction from anyone, because I just knew, like, actually going back a little bit, with the positions that I was in, I tried to not focus on learning any positions. Like, I just wanted my body to tell me what position I would be in.
Love that.
Which again was the exact opposite of what I thought it would be. Like, you presume all these things, and then at the time your body's like, no, actually, this feels better. So I was actually leaning back a little bit, which I really didn't think that I would do. Not like fully, but I was kind of just leaning back on the birth pool. That felt like the only option for me. But at this time, I think like everyone could tell, well, the head was bopping in and out kind of thing. And my partner had got into the pool to kind of like hold me a little bit, because it was quite intense, kind of like waiting for her to do her thing and come out and my body. And at that moment, I decided that I was kind of fed up waiting to meet her, and I decided to help push with a contraction. So I waited for the next contraction to come, and I kind of just braced my muscles and pushed. And that's when her head came out. And then I just did the next thing on the next contraction. We just waited. There was like no rush or anything. And I just waited for that. And then I just gave it another push. And that's when her body came out. And it was just an amazing moment. Like, my partner was in the pool with me and he helped catch her. And the midwives were incredible at this point. Like, they completely just stepped back. Like, there was no rushing to the baby. Like, it was me and my partner. No one tried to interfere. And that was everything that I dreamed of. Like, that was exactly how I envisaged. Yeah. And then she let out a cry immediately, which I also was prepared not to happen. Like, I knew it can take a while for the babies to come around. But yeah, she was pretty vocal straight away. And that was the birth. Yeah.
Beautiful. And did you stay in the pool for the placenta as well?
So this had been kind of, I had no fears around birth, but this was another thing with having a midwife that kind of had to tick boxes. I was worried about the whole them expecting you to birth a placenta really fast when really it can take any amount of time that it needs to take. So this was something that I was kind of anticipating. Like, I was like, is it going to be fast or is it going to take 8 hours? And I'm going to have to tell the midwives, you'll just have to wait. Or like, but I got out of the pool. She had like a really short cord. So I kind of weirdly maneuvered out of the pool. And then I sat down just by the pool and it was the craziest thing and not what I was expecting. The placenta kind of just plopped out. Yeah. Like really fast, which was awesome because it had definitely been kind of, I don't know if it was a fear, but it was more like I didn't want to be uncomfortable in telling the midwives that we were going to sit here and wait however long we need to wait for the placenta to arrive. So I was kind of relieved that it just came out when it did and I could just chill out and not.
Yeah. And most of the time that happens.
Yeah.
Most of the time that happens. Placentas are really great at being birthed, just like babies.
Yeah.
And the key component to ensuring the optimal way for the placenta to be birthed is to really keep that love bubble intact. So yeah, just what the midwives did, they stood back. You guys had your, you know, moment, your love bubble moment in the bath. And, you know, you got to, I don't know, did you know it was a girl, for example, or like, you know, you got to experience your baby.
Yeah.
Baby's face and like fingers and toes and like have that beautiful high of the love peak of oxytocin. And that's what's needed. And so, you know, I know that there's stories with placentas taking a long time, but that's not the rule. That's an exception.
Yeah.
Right. So most of the time, placentas just come out. And sometimes you need to sit on the toilet and just like help it a bit or squat and use gravity or wiggle around, walk around a bit, like in the room, you know what I mean? And snuggle and breastfeed and bond and it will come out.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what happened. Like it was the biggest high of my entire life. And it's like, at the time, it wasn't even a thought. Like this was more like leading up to the birth. It was on my mind. But at the time, like it wasn't even, when you're holding your baby that you're just meeting for the first time, you don't even think about that.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
I love that.
Just to do it in the living room was the best thing ever.
Yeah. Did you squat? Did you lie down? Did you stand?
No, I was sat there kind of just like leaning back on my sofa and it just like plopped out. Yeah.
Nicely.
Yeah, I didn't do anything.
Love that.
It was great. Yeah, I was just kind of holding Penelope. Yeah,
there's something else you'd like to share about the postpartum there, the first hours after birth?
I think, like, for me, it was really important to just be undisturbed until I wanted, or if I wanted anyone to kind of do anything. So it was really important for me to just hold the baby and I really wanted to make sure that she latched on, kind of like no one else interfered. And the midwives were so respectful, which was amazing. Like, they didn't try and take her anywhere or measure her or anything like that until like way later on. And then when they asked if I wanted them to, which was exactly what I wanted. And it was so kind of respectful. And yeah, we chilled out. We just chilled out, we breastfed, and then we ordered a pizza, and it was perfect.
What pizza did you order?
It's in New Zealand, there's this chain of pizzas called Hell's, and they just do this amazing pizza with vegan cheese. I think we just got one of those with loads of olives and beautiful vegetables on it. And also, I didn't mention before, but my dog was present for the whole birth. And it was really nice after just to introduce him to Penelope. And it was beautiful kind of seeing him be like, what, who the hell is this that's just kind of come? But it was funny having an animal there, because my midwife had said she'd never been at a birth with an animal before.
Yeah.
Well, a dog. And he just had such great kind of like intuition to know that what was going on. It was amazing. And then it's almost like he knew she was a baby and not to do anything crazy and like not to kind of jump up at her or anything. It was great.
Yeah, they're so wise and intelligent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He really was.
Wow, beautiful. So if you had a first-time mama in front of you right now who's about to have her first baby and she really wants to have a natural and empowering birth experience, what advice and pearls of wisdom would you give to her?
I know absolutely everyone says this, but it's all about trust and trust in your body, trust in your baby. And I think for me, it was kind of thinking about every other mammal on planet Earth and how they give birth. And there's no reason why you can't do the same thing. Yeah, just the belief that your body is made and equipped to do this, and you don't need to have any fear. And you can just sit back and relax and give birth.
Sit back and relax. I don't know if that's exactly
what you're maybe doing. Not relax. But I think more in the sense of kind of like you don't need to worry that everything's gonna. You need to do all these things or prepare. Like, I think for me, it almost was like I felt like I could really just chill out and let my body, like, not relax, but kind of I was relaxed in the sense that I knew I didn't have to worry about what to do, if that makes sense.
But that was because you prepared, though. You listened to birth stories from the beginning. True. So, you know, preparation can look very differently for everybody, but it is that. How can I trust? And because today, without preparation, women don't know about the physiology because we were never taught that, right?
Yeah.
So I think in your way, however you do it, you know, whether that is a course, having a doula, listening to this podcast, looking at birth videos, preparing your mind so that you really can trust.
Yeah. Right? I think for me, it was blocking out the negativity and just surrounding myself with the podcast, the positive podcasts, the videos. And then before you know it, you've rewired your subconscious and you just associate birth with the most amazing, natural, like, part of life.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's totally possible to rewire the brain. But unfortunately, I think from birth, from all the media we take in, like movies and television and stuff, it's not what they teach us, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but that's why podcasts like yours exist and all the others and the women sharing their amazing stories.
Yeah, yes, exactly that. And so thank you for coming on and sharing yours, because
You and other women like you who want to share their positive, natural, empowering birth stories are the ones that keep this podcast going. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on. It was great to finally come on after listening to it for so long.
Yeah. Such a pleasure having you.
Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please consider sharing it. Leave a review or make a contribution on our Patreon page. And if you want to connect on social media, then find the podcast on Instagram as The Natural Birth Podcast. Thank you for listening.